Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Radar love. Boom, 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 boom. Radar love. The reason why I do this stuff is because we help people. So here, I'm a service. This is a sweet woman. I'm a service coordinator for UPMC, and I'm seeking volunteer snow removal for someone in Green Tree. She's outside of the city of Pittsburgh, so she isn't eligible for snow angels. See, this is amazing. And for the folks who say I complain, yeah, I complain. Until we get someone to help, I complain. Marty, she had a massive heart attack this year and a lot of other physical health conditions, and most of her money goes toward medical expenses and bills. I'm trying to find out her address so we can get somebody over there to help. I've tried several churches in the neighborhood, but they don't have any options for her. Why don't churches have options? You tell me a church doesn't have someone that can go over and... You're kidding me. I thought that's what churches were about. Couldn't the pastor or the father or a minister just say, hey, Maggie's house needs someone to shovel the snow, and there's 1,000 people in the congregation? Isn't that what churches do? Anyway, I've tried several churches in the neighborhood, but they didn't have any options for her. Why? And the borough won't offer to help. They've threatened to fine her instead. You got to be kidding me. Would you be kind enough to put out a call for volunteers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we have a woman in Green Tree. I'll get the address. Who had a massive heart attack. I can't believe that they're trying to strong her, arm her in the township, telling her to clear her sidewalk. And I just think churches should step up more. Anyway, I'm trying to get a little more information to find out if we can get this done today, this woman in Green Tree. She is about to be fined because she can't shovel her sidewalk. She's got to weigh that with the fact that she had a massive heart attack, and if she went out to shovel, she could die. Don't people listen? Isn't there any compassion out there? There is. There has to be someone out there that will shovel sidewalks for someone in Green Tree as a favor. But we'll get to this. As soon as I get a name and address, we'll get to this and ask for help. Green Tree. It's right down the road here. I just don't know where. So here's this guy who said I talk too much about this crap that people should, why do we care? People should look around when they buy a house if they don't get plowed. Really? It's just obnoxious. See, one of my boys, Steve, sends me a note, and he completely, this is how I love my friends. He completely sends this note, Steve Mazza, who's an unbelievable friend. Get an address. I'll take a quick walk around at 12:30 or 1 today. See, people respond immediately. I just need to get the address, Stephen. We'll get somebody to plow or shovel this poor woman's house and whatever else she needs. We'll make sure it gets done. Gentleman was complaining that I need to quit yelling and screaming at the city for complaining that they don't plow streets of folks like Roma Way in Hazelwood or Need Street in Green Tree. I'm going to keep plowing with complaints, plowing forward with my complaints until they do their job. Until somebody calls me from Roma Way in Hazelwood and tells me that their tertiary alley has been plowed, I'm going to keep whining about it. How about that? Until I pass out. I should have a marathon talk show. And I keep talking until they plow every tertiary street in Pittsburgh. How about that? You know what they always tell me? Thanks for fighting for the little guy. That's what we're going to do. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. I'm serious. Go away. So this guy tells me that people just don't get it. Before they buy a house, he says, look around. The hills, the streets, just common sense. You have to think a little. He's saying that people should know when they buy a house that their street's not going to get plowed. Sir, how about the folks on Roma Way in Hazelwood? She's been there 60 years. So when she was a yiddle girl, she should have said, da-da, street not plowed. Da-da, we need to move. Street not plowed. Public works not come, da-da. Get a life. Here's sweet people. Dennis, I'm going to be taking my daughter and her friends to Green Tree tonight for volleyball practice. If it can be done at 6, I will do it. It's how cool people are. It's how amazing people are. It's just cool. We'll find someone to get that woman's property plowed or shoveled. And then there's retired cop Ray, who I love to death. Tell that woman to put a plate of cookies outside. Tell that woman to put a plate of cookies outside. Call an inauguration party for the mayor, and things will be cleaned in an hour. It's fun, baby. So he can travel like this. He goes down to mommy's condo on the beach in FLA, and he sends us pictures of the sunset, and his woman's down there. She said, I should stop picking on that grown man. This guy says, go ahead, bash the churches now. If you have a church in Green Tree and you don't have one person that can shovel a woman's sidewalk, you shouldn't be a church. That's the way I see it. So if you call that church bashing, if the shoe fits, wear it. Pray for it. I'm praying to Jesus for the snow to melt. No, I'm praying that some Christian person with values and a sense of responsibility will shovel the sidewalk of a woman who had a massive heart attack. Again, if that makes me a complainer or a bad guy, so be it. So be it. It's silly. What are we talking about here? We're talking about taking care of people. We're going to have a street plowing marathon talk until they plow Roma Way in Hazelwood and Need Street in Green Tree. How about that? Silly. Got to take care of the people in need. And if we don't, how are we a church? If that's church bashing, let's go. When we stop caring about the folks, I say this all the time, find a senior citizen that lives near you. Knock on their door, say, hey, what do you need? Or just shovel their walk. Just do it. Go to the store, buy them some food, and just knock on the door and say, here, check this out. Here's some soup and eggs and bread and milk and some treats. Just do it. If you can't do it, what happens to the next snow? If the folks at churches in Green Tree can't find it in their hearts to shovel one woman's sidewalk, what's it about? Why are you a church? What's the point? Why are you there? That's my whole beef. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen to the afternoon news with Mangino for today's January Jumpstart feature, 335. A1, Rudy Lock and Safe, the region's largest inventory of American-made gun safes. And visit Shenley Park tonight, 7 to 9, family skate. One child's ticket is free with each paying adult. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, we're going to get somebody over to that house in Green Tree. Thanks for folks calling. I'm going to get the address, and we'll get it done. The wonderful woman at UPMC who's involved in trying to help her out, which is very sweet, actually, is going to coordinate this. We'll get it done. All right?
All right. All right. All right.
Hey, we got to get engaged in a couple. There's so many different things. There's so many different things going on that I want to talk about, including this Trump book. Is that a trip? Wow. Wow. I couldn't read enough of it. And for all the folks out there who love Trump, good for you. Knock yourself out. I need you on my team. Loyal to a fault, no matter what he does. Whew. Classic. All right. All righty. Hey, let's run this piece from this book that just a couple of things that kind of, this book that's coming out, and you know, the ban and stuff has been all over the news, but some of the idiosyncrasies of the White House, they're just a trip. My gosh. Some of the little personal things that make you crazy, they're just so strange that Trump lied about his height to the doctors so that his body mass index wouldn't show that he's obese? Really? That my man tried to lock the Secret Service out of his room? Oh, gosh. Please send me some stuff about Obama so that you can feel better about this. Please send me some stuff about Hillary. Go back to Abe Lincoln if it makes you feel better. But this is just pure entertainment to me. How about they said that Trump, that he eats cheeseburgers from Mickey D's. I'd go with the double cheese. I like McDonald's. We've said T loves McDonald's. I got her, no, Mickey D's sent me some gift certificates for Mickey D's from before Christmas, and I gave them to T. You'd think I gave her a 6-carat diamond. She like a mouse to cheese. I love their cheeseburgers. I could eat a couple right now. But I like the thicker ones, like a double cheeseburger. And they just said that the Trumpster likes to sit in bed in his undies with his cell phone, T. And he eats cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and he chats with his friends on the phone. Oh, my gosh. And they said that he eats the Mickey D's because he thinks people are trying to poison him. Wow. Really? I'm going all fast food from now on. I'm stopping at Arby's and Mickey D's because the old lady, she's trying to poison me. Yeah, I ain't going home. I ain't eating that crap no more. She's poisoning me. I'm going to stop down Larry's. She's got that fried food. It ain't no poison. I have 3-4 beers and I go home. I ain't going to let that old lady of mine poison me. So the Trumpster thinks that, according to this new book, now you folks are going to say it's all a lie and it's all made up and it's all, okay. The Democrats, did you see the piece that I posted? The Democrats had a psychiatrist, it's some committee, basically saying he's nuts. He needs out, that he's mentally ill. This is what's going on. Hey, how about that stock market though, Marty? I'm killing it. I'm killing it. He's an outsider. He ain't like you. You're a jagoff. As long as that stock market's doing fine, I don't care if he eats cheeseburgers, do you? But he gets, you know, like the cheeseburgers, they get that ketchup on them and the mustard and a pickle, and it kind of squirts out the bottom sometime. I wonder if he gets that stuff on the sheets at the White House, T. That could be a problem. Hey, please play this piece from the White House correspondent at CBS. It's kind of fascinating. It lays out some of the stuff in this book, and then we're going to get into more after the break. Listen to this.
The book paints an unflattering portrait of Mr. Trump, who Wolf says didn't want to win the presidency and assured his wife Melania it wouldn't happen. On election night, Wolf quotes Donald Trump Jr. as telling a friend that his father looked as if he had seen a ghost. Melania was in tears and not of joy. A claim disputed by the First Lady's office. When dealing with the president, Wolf writes that aides said that Mr. Trump didn't read, was no more than semi-literate, and was quick to lash out. Former Deputy Chief of Staff Katie Walsh told Wolf it was like trying to figure out what a child wants. Wolf also cites the president's vulgar language, alleging that he called Sally Yates a derogatory term for female genitalia and referred during the campaign to his now communications director, Hope Hicks, as a piece of tail. Wolf did have significant access here at the White House. Sarah Sanders admits he had about a dozen interactions with staff, and the CBS News White House team has seen him here frequently. A lot of people here this morning are wondering how in the world this happened under their noses. And also this morning, Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, has announced that White House staff will no longer be able to use their personal phones in the West Wing.
Oh, my. Come on. Don't take away my cell phone, Mr. Trump. I got a tweet. That'll fix it. Watergate happened before cell phones. Just trying to make a point. The Pentagon Papers were released long before everybody had a cell phone. Just trying to make a point. Oh, my gosh. Woo! Hey, how about that market, though, Marty? You're a jag-off. He's out there. He turned the economy around. He ain't letting no illegals in here no mores. His old lady, she's hot, okay? He likes cheeseburgers. So what? So do yins. I know you and your wife like cheeseburgers. The Trumpster. I tell you what. This is one time where Pintech is spot on. He's right. What would we do without Trump? What would we say? We'd have Pence. And here's what we'd say about Pence. Mike Pence went to church today with his wife. They prayed and went home. Now she's making a rump roast. And they're watching Ben-Hur again. Right? Oh, hold on. Hold on. Here's Pence. He's holding a news conference. He's reading from the Bible. We'll take that live. That's what we'd have. Just saying. Go, Trump, baby. Hang in there, brother. Bring some cheeseburgers in here. My wife packed me a lunch. You know what, T? She could be trying to poison me. She had a little look on her face this morning. Get me some cheeseburgers. I'll feel much better about cheeseburgers and big basket of fries. Yeah. Hi. Marty Griffin. I am fascinated by this new book and the intricacies and the inner workings of the White House. By the way, I got to say this. So I just got pics from, so the woman called from Roma Way in Hazelwood. I got pictures. It's been done. I got pictures sent to me from Roma Way. How about that? Very cool. And for the public works guys who did it, good for you for caring. They do care. I never blame it on them. I mean, I'm sure there are guys that don't hustle as much as they should, just like any other business. But for the most part, they hit home runs. They work all day, and oftentimes they work all night. It's just not that easy. And my deal's about management and equipment and personnel. Oftentimes, it's easy to blame the guy literally on the street with the plow, but for the most part, it isn't them. Just historically what I've noticed. I am fascinated with this new book that has Bannon in it, and that goes into great detail about what's going on in the White House. I find it amazing. I can't imagine this scenario playing out in any more of a bizarre way. And I have to agree with, in terms of the media, folks suggest that we hate Trump. That's the silliest thing ever. He provides unbelievable content. I've never seen anything like it. It's day to day to day to day becomes the next milestone of conflict. It becomes the next great investigation. It becomes the next big firestorm. And what's insane about it, and what's fascinating about it to watch, is the market just blew through another record. The economy is truly humming along. And as a result, people are cool with Trump. I'm glad. I'm really glad that we're doing better. I'm really glad that the market is killing it. Why wouldn't I? We have a lot invested in the market, as you do. But what trips me out, as people like to say, is that people actually believe that this is normal behavior. And this White House is acting in a normal way, and it just isn't. This isn't normal. But in the 24-hour-a-day news cycle, this is what it is. It's entertainment. It's absolutely fascinating to me what's happening in the White House. And it's hard to imagine how they manage that every day, but they somehow do. Now they're suggesting that they can't have cell phones in the White House. Okay. That'll help. That'll help. Bannon pretty much saying they're going to take down Donald Jr. They're going to take down Kushner. And that they're going to then get to the big guy. And they're going to do it through allegations of money laundering. That's pretty much what they're saying. And I hope that doesn't happen. I in the middle of all this madness, the Dow Jones Industrial Average just topped 25,000 for the first time. It's amazing. But my issue is real basic. This firestorm, day after day after day. What this book makes us forget about is the whole ridiculous button controversy and the nuclear war inferences and the threats and the fear factor and the military buildup and the escalation of tensions, because it's one thing after another after another. And as a direct result, we just kind of mosey on. It's so bizarre to me. And what happens with Trump supporters is folks say, I don't care. I care what he says. My 401k is killing it. And I guess that's a reasonable argument. If they want to light a fire every day in the White House, as long as the country's moving along, as long as we have tax reform, as long as jobs are on the rise. And now I'm reading that as a result of so much growth, wages are starting to grow. So why would I care what Trump says? Why would I care if he's bombastic? Why would I care if he sits up at night eating cheeseburgers? No, really, why would I care? I find it actually kind of charming. And all these presidents have their quirks. They're all a little strange in a way. Why would I care? Beyond these allegations made by Steve Bannon that Trump's son and Kushner, his son-in-law, broke the law, committed treason. Why would I care other than that? Because for all that we say and all that we do, it would be horrible, obviously, for the president of the United States' son and his son-in-law to be indicted. It would be horrible. And this is the inference made by Steve Bannon. And what's fascinating for me about Trump, and you folks have to see this, is how he just, he's night and day. He's white and black. He's red and green. He's just this kaleidoscope of calamity. He seems to thrive on it. He goes from saying, Steve Bannon's my boy, to he lost his job, then he lost his mind. He goes from allowing this man to be at the center of his universe, which he freely admitted a multitude of times, to suggesting he had nothing to do with his campaign. It's fascinating to me. And it's a little bit unsettling. He lost his job, then he lost his mind. Now he's got lawyers drawing up paperwork telling Steve Bannon to cease and desist.
It's too late, their chief.
Now he's telling everyone in the White House, don't use your cell phones.
Okay, I'll just go down the street and call you from a payphone. Mr. New York Times, Mr. Washington Post.
I don't think Trump gets it yet. I've learned this throughout my career. The folks that give me information, you know why they do it? Well, there's a couple of reasons. They're the high and mighty, high moral values, folks who want the truth out. They want the public to know. And then there are folks that they're angry. There are folks that are just hacked off. And then there are folks that want to get even. And what happens when you have a lot of folks that are angry and a lot of folks that want to get even and they release information, they're generally in a tumultuous environment. So what Trump doesn't understand is the more he pushes people, the more he pulls people, the more he yanks at people, the more they want the truth out. And again, let's be honest about this. Oftentimes, and I've seen this in my career, they have an axe to grind. But they'll mosey on down the street and they'll call the New York Times day in and day out. They'll call the Washington Post or they'll call Marty Griffin. I've lived off of it. What you have to do as a journalist is sift through it and make sure they're telling you the truth or they're just trying to get even. And that's where folks get into blaming the media. You're all liars. They all have an axe to grind, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But what I would suggest is that the more you read this about this White House in constant turmoil, there are people, we all know these people, they thrive on conflict. They live from the juice. That's Trump. He's not changing. We only have to hope as Americans that we stay on the right path despite the craziness in the White House. We just have to hope. And pray. We used to get sent all those books, T. We need to get them to send us this Fire and Fury book. We quit having book people on. We quit booking book people. You need to call them and say, hey, we'd like to book you. I don't know, this book, man. Wow. The guy who wrote it, this Wolf guy, The White House is not denying he was there. They said, yeah, he was in here. And now Wolf's saying he has recordings.
Uh-oh.
He said he did more than 200 interviews with Trump and his inner circle.
Eek. Uh-oh.
I'm going to give you, but just so intriguing to me, top 20 revelations from this book. Steve Bannon, his former chief strategist, right, described a meeting set up by Trump Jr. and with a Kremlin-linked Russian lawyer during the 2016 campaign as treasonous and unpatriotic. He said they're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV.
There you go.
Bannon reportedly said the president likely met with the meeting's participants afterwards, speculating that Trump's son brought them up to his father's office. The chance that Don Jr. did not walk these jumbos up. What's a jumbo? Jumos. What's a jumo? Did you know? J-U-M-O-S. I hope it's not profane. I don't know. Jumo. Did not. It's in the book. It's been broadcast. Did not walk these jumos up to his father's office on the 26th floor. Zero, Bannon said. Number three, Trump didn't want to win. These are the 20 things that jump out from this book. And no one in his campaign thought he would win. Well, it would only be a problem if he won. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn assured his friends about his decision to accept $45,000 for a speech in Russia.
Wow. Come on, man.
Number four, Trump's daughter Ivanka described Trump's hair as a perfectly engineered hairdo that takes many steps to complete. She often described the mechanics behind it to friends. An absolutely clean pate, a contained island after scalp reduction surgery.
Whoa.
Surrounded by a furry circle of hair around the sides and front, from which all ends are drawn up to meet in the center, and then swept back and secured by a stiffening spray, the book says.
Eek.
Trump wondered what a golden shower was after hearing reports of the intelligence dossier that alleges that Russian security forces have compromising details about the president. Having dispensed with CNN chief Jeff Zucker, the president of the United States went on to speculate on what was involved with the golden shower, he writes.
Eek. We won't get into that.
Number six, it's profane.
It's, yeah.
Number six, Trump would speculate on the flaws of his staff after hanging up the phone with them. Bannon was disloyal, not to mention he always looks like expletive. Priebus was a weak, not to mention he was short, a midget.
Whoa.
Jared Kushner was a suck-up. Sean Spicer was stupid. Wow, and looks terrible too. Conway was a crybaby. Jared and Ivanka should never have come to Washington.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently all this is on tape. Number seven. Ivanka and her husband, Jared Kushner, agreed that if one of them were to run for president in the future, it would be her. They didn't say that, said Bannon, upon learning about the deal. Stop. Oh, come on. They didn't actually say that. Please don't tell me that. Oh, my God. Number eight.
This is bizarre.
Trump eats at McDonald's so often out of paranoia and because he is a germaphobe. Long afraid of being poisoned, he would say that one reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's was because nobody knew he was coming and the food was safely prepared.
See? See? T, you do the same thing. You're worried about being poisoned.
I'm going to do that tonight when I get some Mickey D. Get me a basket of fries. No, this is amazing. Number nine. Trump asked Hope Hicks, the White House communications director who had dated former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, why she was worried about Lewandowski's bad press after he got fired. He said, quote, you've already done enough for him. Trump apparently said you're the best piece of tail he'd ever have. My gosh.
It's amazing.
Hicks and Trump had a very close relationship, and Trump's inner circle saw her as something of a daughter to the president. Hicks was, in fact, thought of as Trump's real daughter, while Ivanka was thought of as his real wife.
Okay.
As a candidate, Trump had no interest in learning about the Constitution, which he knew very little about. I got as far as the Fourth Amendment before his finger is pulling down on his lip and his eyes are rolling back in his head, said Sam Nunberg, a former advisor to the Trump campaign.
Hey, you can't make this stuff up. If you're getting angry, so what?
Number 12, Trump used derogatory language to express his anger towards Sally Yates. Trump conceived an early obsessive antipathy for Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. The book reads, she was, he esteemed, such a C word, expletive. 13, Trump didn't enjoy his own inauguration. He was angry that A-level stars had snubbed the event, disgruntled with the accommodations at Blair House, and visibly fighting with his wife, who seemed on the verge of tears. Wow. This is amazing. Number 14, Trump reassured Melania that he would not win the election. On election night, when it became clear that he would win, Melania was in tears and not of joy. Number 15, the travel ban was passed on a Friday so that people would protest at airports. Asked why the timing was on a weekend, Bannon said so the snowflakes would show up at the airports and riot. Wow. Okay. Trump never reads. He didn't process information in any conventional sense. He didn't read. He didn't really even skim. Some believe that for all practical purposes, he was no more than semi-literate. All from the book. 17. Trump would mention getting in bed with other women. Trump liked to say that one of the things that made life worth living was getting your friends' wives into bed. Eesh. Hey, none of his people are going to believe any of this, but this is in the book, and the author says he has it all recorded. So, Trump offered to marry TV host Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. You guys should just get married, Trump told them. I can marry you. I'm an internet Unitarian minister. Kushner said, what? Said the president, what are you talking about? Why would they want you to marry them when I could marry them? When they could be married by the president at Mar-a-Lago? Sure. 19, the president's lifestyle followed many unusual routines. If he was not having his 6:30 dinner with Steve Bannon, then more to his liking, he was in bed by that time, 6:30 with a cheeseburger, watching his three screens and making phone calls. And number 20, Trump would share private details about himself, then get upset when information was leaked. As details of Trump's personal life leaked out, he became obsessed with identifying the leaker. Who wouldn't? The source of all the gossip, however, may well have been Trump himself, Wolf writes. In his calls throughout the day and at night from his bed, he often spoke to people who had no reason to keep his confidences. There you go. Inside look at the White House as it exists today. How you doing? Actually fascinated by it. That's not a life I would want to live. There's more crap that happens in a day in his life than happens in a year in mine. I just couldn't manage the ridiculousness. There would have to be some kind of method and some kind of end game. If we're going to get crazy, why are we getting crazy? But I think that this is how Donald Trump has managed his life and his tremendous success his whole life. And I think that those folks that expected him to change are just crazy. I mean, a man's a man. A guy like him, who's always had what he wanted whenever he wanted it, and if he didn't like it, he got rid of it. Why would he change now? I mean, and so why would you believe that anything in this book is made up? Because it seems to me that since the author has recordings, it wasn't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.